All right, welcome back to the fifth hour of the Heights of the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. My goodness, what a crazy night of high school football, and we absolutely love it. Big Joe inside the studio here with my man, Big Kenny behind the glass, making it happen. Elijah Campbell down the line. And Elijah, I think we got some good news. You have the scoreboard update. Hit it, brother.
And this is where I deliver said good news, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Oakland final beats Maryville. I believe that was the final score. Ended up being 38-15, correct? That's the last score I saw. I think we went ahead and declared that one over earlier. So Oakland wins. And in 6A, they will take on Beach in the championship game. They beat Bartlett 50-39, fighting off a furious comeback attempt. Bartlett was down 35-13 and ended up taking a 39-35 lead before Beach scores 15 unanswered to win 50-39. Oakland, Beach for the 6A crown. In 5A, Page beats Henry County in the Battle of the Patriots for the second straight year in the state semifinals. They win 27-24. They will play Knox West for all the marbles in 5A. Knox West knocks off defending 5A champion Powell by a score of 28-21. Knox West, the only undefeated team remaining. In 5A, they'll square off of Page for all the marbles. In 4A, Anderson County beats Red Bank 28-13. Anderson County still undefeated. It will have a chance. We have the perfect season and a championship against Pearl Cone. That one has just gone final. Pearl Cone beats Haywood 53-47. A Pearl Cone Anderson County state championship is on the horizon. In 3A, Alcoa beats Giles County 38-13. And East Nashville takes care of business at Covington 41-15. So we're going to have a 3A rematch of last year's 3A state championship. Alcoa versus East Nashville for all the marbles. In 2A, some early finals tonight. Tyner beat York 33-0 and in their dream season. Riverside beat Huntington 26-13, the biggest win for Decatur since the War of 1812. They will play Tyner versus Riverside, for the 2A state championship. And last but certainly not least, my beloved 1A state playoffs, Clay County. The Bulldogs, the first time in school history, will be playing for a state championship. They beat Coalfield 40-33. And then undefeated McKenzie. They beat Mace 34-0. So that sets up the stage for a Clay County McKenzie state championship in 1A. That is your scoreboard update.
Well done. Brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, where they give you the tools to be your own boss. Well done. So it's all set for next week, and you couldn't be happier. I mean, you got some – I hate the fact that somebody had to lose in the Henry County Page game. Page won that game moving on. But Middle Tennessee well represented for the state championships next week down in Chattanooga. And 6A Beach versus Oakland. We'll go ahead and look at that game right now. Now, being informed, Elijah, through the great social media, that Beach runs sort of a hybrid wing T, but it's basically an I formation with a lot of pistol in there. So we might have to retrace our steps of calling that a wing T.
Maybe, I will not retrace my steps. I want this bad enough where I'm going to make it a reality. So I know it might not be 100% accurate, but that's where the best truth lies.
I love it too, as well.
Mythology.
So thank you, Matt Overton, for listening to our show. Matt,
yeah, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, he's a heck of a former high school quarterback up in Gallatin. He's a high school football coach. So thank you, Matt. Hey, let's go to the phones now. Adam Brown is on the phone. He was down covering the Oakland and Maryville game tonight. Oakland rolls through the game and wins 38-15. Hey, Adam, let me ask you this. Sloppy second half on the out, if you're just watching it kind of in an abstract way, but Oakland only gave up 8 points in the second half, but I'm sure Kevin Creasy's not happy with the fact that looks like they kind of coasted for a tad.
Yeah, in the postgame huddle, he actually brought up the Beach game and told his players, he was like, hey guys, we can't take our foot off the gas. When you do that, and he started asking his coaches what the score was, and he relayed that to his players. He was like, this is what can happen, and he used the Beach game as an example.
Well, do I not have great questions or what, right?
Every time.
That's amazing. I am the Walter Cronkite of high school football in Middle Tennessee. All right, your impressions from the game tonight. Adam, when you look at Oakland overall, I mean, I know when they wanted to score, they scored. And just another very impressive performance by them against a very good Maryville football team.
Yeah, the one word I always use to describe them is consistency. And they may not have the, like, five-star – you know, big-time recruit, even though Cade Hewitt is a Mr. Football finalist. And Kevin Creasy said as much, but they still find a way to win these games in impressive fashion. And honestly, even though it looked like they were coasting, they were always in control, and they were never going to have what happened to Beach happen to them. The only way I would bet against this team is if they were playing Lipscomb, and that even that might be a stretch just with how consistent this football team is.
Talking to Adam Brown, he was at Maryville in Oakland tonight. Adam, clearly a dominant game from Oakland tonight. Want to preview this game against Beach. I don't know how much of Beach you've gotten to see this year, but with the way things went down in the second half, where Oakland seemingly coasted their way to the final, what do you think they're going to have to do against Beach to be able to avoid an upset?
I mean, just keep doing what they're doing. Their defense is always going to keep Oakland in the game. And then I've covered Oakland three times this season, and all three times they never really looked like they were in trouble, except for when they played Ravenwood. And they pounced on a Ravenwood mistake and then ended up making that game a blowout too. So Beach is just going to have to not make mistakes, and then Oakland is just honestly just going to have to keep doing what they're doing. It just keeps coming back to how consistent they are. They're so consistent.
Last one for me, Adam, too. I mean, Oakland's got a dangerous kicker, and that's one of my favorite things about them is just how reliable of a field goal kicker they have. And in games where, if it is a 6A title game against Beach, where they're going to be playing a close game, if it is a close game, that could be a weapon that could help decide a game, too. A lot of these games that you're talking about tonight have been totally changed by field goal kicking. Oakland's got a game changer. I mean, what's it like watching that kid play, and what kind of X factor do you think he can be in a state title game against Beach?
He definitely stands out. The times that I've covered them this year, it's definitely noticeable, especially in high school ball, when you've got a kicker that has established himself as a weapon. And especially, like you said, if the state championship game comes down to being close, you know that Oakland has that in their back pocket. So that's definitely something that they could use to their advantage.
Adam, again, thanks for the great job tonight, brother. We're kind of jealous you get to watch that football game and watch Oakland play tonight as well. But we appreciate your updates, man, and all you do for us. Thank you, my man.
Yeah, thank you. No problem.
All right, Adam Brown down there. Get to see Oakland. And he brings up that Ravenwood game, which was an interesting game. We talked about at the time, Elijah, because that was a back and forth, really a big battle. Ravenwood giving Oakland all they could, and Oakland pulled away at the end. But still, that's a game you reference back to, the fact that Ravenwood really played him tough in that game. That was like week three or four. Seems like 5 years ago.
Very early. Seems like so long ago. But that was an incredible game, too. And that's one of those games, if you're Oakland, you might have to revert back to in terms of how you came away and hit that extra gear. Because that's the one, I guess, observation we've had that might be the most accurate about Oakland, is that they have an extra gear that other teams across the state just don't have. Whenever, like, it's almost like a light switch. They turn it on, and they're unstoppable at that point, no matter how much they might play with their food, so to speak. It happened in the Ravenwood game. Ravenwood gave them 3 1/4, but by the time, you know, winning time rolled around, they took care of business. They have the plus side of what winning a close game can do for that one, and then the negative side of what getting blown out can do and their CPA loss, because CPA took care of business, and it wasn't necessarily competitive. I think that loss might have been the best thing that's happened to them, because they figured out what can happen when you mess around and don't take someone as seriously as you should. So they have that extra gear. This is such a fun team, and I think Beach will actually give them a really good game. You can't underestimate Beach. I know giving up 39 to Bartlett might mean you can give up 40 to 50 against Oakland, but I'm convinced Beach can score 50 against almost anybody in the state because of how well they run the ball.
It's going to be one heck of a matchup that goes on there as well. I'm over the moon happy. You know, we've talked about throughout the show, throughout the whole year, about the Metro teams, that Pearl Cone is now going to play for the 4A title versus Anderson County, and that East Nashville is going to play for the state title in 3A versus Alcoa. I think this is a different East Nashville football team, Elijah, that's heading to Chattanooga than one that we saw last year. I think last year, like, East Nashville, at least my take on it was, oh, my goodness, we're in the state championship game. Let's look around here. And, you know, East Nashville got out to a lead last year versus Alcoa in that game. But I think now It's like, all right, we're back. We enjoyed it last year. Now we want to win.
I think it goes beyond just the feeling of belonging, right? Like last year, they got off to an early lead against Alcoa in that championship game. It's like, oh, this is no fluke. We belong here. And then coming into this year, they had higher expectations than they didn't have going into last year. Handled those expectations, hit a lot of adversity in the last 2 weeks of the regular season, and then had to deal with some reshuffling at one of the more important positions in football, the offensive line. And then they've been able to find their groove again. They were able to hang 40 against Smith County. They were able to put up, what was the final, 41 against a really good Covington team tonight. Now they know they belong. Now they know how good they are. Now it's more than just belonging. It's you can be competitive. And I think they can beat Alcoa, because to beat Alcoa, you got to be able to match score for score.
Right.
Because Alcoa, I don't care how good your defense is, Alcoa is putting up at least 24 to 31 points at the bare minimum. I think East Nashville can get up there too on Alcoa's defense. So that's going to be a lot of fun to see. That matchup is a lot juicier this year than it was last year by a lot.
You look tonight about teams in our area that are going to the state championship. They did it on the road. East Nashville had to go on the road. Pearl Cone went on the road. Of course, Page went on the road to Henry County. Decatur County went on the road to Huntington. And then Beach on the road to Bartlett. And I saw where Beach left at noon today. So you're talking about get on the bus at noon. You know, you just ate. You get to Memphis sometime 3:30. You warm up, play the game. I mean, so that's just out of your norm. So to go on the road and do that and win when you got to travel 3 to 4 hours across half the state is something else. And Beach was able to do that. So was East Nashville and Pearl Cone and Page as well. So, but as far as the two Metro teams, East Nashville and Pearl Cone Elijah, I'm just over the moon. We'll try to get the coaches on here in a little bit to talk to them.
Absolutely.
But just over the moon proud of these kids in Metro, man, because they go through a lot, man. They get just so much is thrown at them and they got to deal with that other counties and schools don't have to deal with. So the fact that those two are headed to Chattanooga next week, man, I am over the moon proud. I would say that I'm on the bandwagon, but I've been on the bandwagon for these Metro teams for 40 years now. So just well done for both those programs.
Yeah, ain't no hopping on the bandwagon when you done been driving the bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no hopping on it when you start it and drive it. So that's exactly where this show is. And you're right. Everything you said about the stuff, the adversity, a lot of those kids have to deal with on a daily basis. And a lot of it, the most attention that those schools will get can sometimes be during football season. So if we can help give them that, and if they can bring home state championships to at least bring them adequate attention, I'm all for it. Let's go.
Here it is. All right. So let's see, the TAA just tweeted everything out about the big football awards, about coaches for next week. So everything's set. Everything's good to go next weekend down at Chattanooga. So it should be a lot of fun with all that. But, man, that 6A game, we'll talk about that for the next week or next 8 days. About how great that matchup is going to be. All right, we will take another break. We'll come back. More high school football for you on the other side. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe alongside Dick Kenny behind the glass making it happen, and Elijah Campbell down the line. Now, one of the best things we do on this show is get to talk to coaches after they win big, huge games. None bigger tonight than up in Clay County. They won. They're headed to the state final next week. They'll take on McKenzie. We're joined now by the head coach, Coach Bruce Lamb. Coach, congratulations on the victory. How are you?
Thank you. I'm extremely excited, and I think I played every play. I'm wore out right now.
Well, Elijah and I, my co-host here, we kept refreshing the game and kept seeing Cofield coming back, coming back, coming back. That had to be driving you crazy to watch. I mean, you win the game, but to see them keep coming back, that game wasn't over until the clock said zero, correct?
Absolutely. We got up I think we were up 20-0, and I can't remember what the score was halftime. We ended up going up 40-20, and we had a couple fumbles, a couple turnovers, and it got them right back in the game. And they go 3-4 wide, sometimes empty set, and throw the ball around quite a bit. And they did a great job. We couldn't get a whole lot of pressure on them, and that's where they were hurting us. But you know, our kids at the very end, they had a shot, and I think it was the fourth and goal from the 11-yard line, and our kids got a little pressure on him and threw an incomplete pass, and we just ran the clock out then.
Talking to Clay County head coach Bruce Lamb. And, Coach, this is your first year at Clay County, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, pretty impressive to be able to take a Clay County team that's never been to a state title game, and being able to do that in year one in a place like Salina, Tennessee has to be pretty special, right?
Extremely special. I got 9 great seniors, you know, and to be good, you got to have those great kids, those good athletes, and I got a lot of those right now, and I got some heck of some football coaches that helped me with my assistants. Was Coach Jimmy Maynard, who's got 43 years experience, who calls my offense, and Mike Dickerson, who's got 28 years experience, who calls my defense. So we're just a bunch of old guys right here and trying to do our jobs, and, you know, we've been very blessed to inherit this bunch.
I love it. I love it. And Coach, I mean, your team's obviously very battle-tested. And even for 1A school, you're incredibly battle-tested, especially like the 2 wins against Gordonsville. I'd like to start off there, too. You had to beat them to win the region. You squeaked out a really close 7-point win. And then last week, you beat the brakes off. Your defense held them to 6 points and an impressive 41-6 win. And then you have to turn around after that emotional win and then win again tonight, 40-33. What does all this say about your team to be mature, emotionally mature enough to be able to put that in the rear view and then face a Coalfield offense that seemingly couldn't score under 40 points all season long and be able to hold them to such a small total early?
Well, you know, our kids have got a lot of maturity. These kids have just been amazing to come out here and work with. And, you know, they line up every day and they come out here and they come to work. And so they have that blue-collar mentality. They come, they bring their lunch, and they're ready to go. And, you know, it's been a great thing for us as coaches to come out and have that. And, you know, I think we got a little lax a little bit tonight when we was up by 20, and we got a little lax. And then they had a couple fumbles, and, you know, they got back in the game and kind of, you know, we had to pick it up a little bit. And that's the maturity of these guys and how they just love each other and love playing the game. And it's a lot of fun to come out and coach every day and see that mentality of these guys.
We're talking head football coach Bruce Lamb at Clay County. They're one. They're headed to the state championship, take on McKenzie next week. Coach, this all, you know, you go through the off-season workouts and spring ball and everything, and then July 11th hits. Your first practice, you get on the field. Any idea when you took the field that day that you'd have something special where it would lead you to the state championship at the time?
I didn't know we were going to go to the state championship, but I knew we were very special. And that's one thing we talked about from day one when I took the job, was, you know, playing 15 games. And you know, how are we going to do it to get here? And our kids did. You know, they come, it doesn't matter what it was, whether it's working out in the weight room, running sprints, 7-on-7s, whatever. They busted their tails every day. And, you know, it's paid off. It's paid off. And we're there in week 15. And, you know, we got an opportunity to go on and do something that's never been done here. And of course, you know, being a state championship is great. But, we're not going to lose. So, you know, we're going to drive down to Chattanooga and with the attitude that we're going to come out and give our best. And hopefully some things will happen. And we'll have the opportunity to win a football game.
Coach, what do you tell your team after a game like this where it's so emotional, you know, it hasn't happened in so long, and you're headed to the state championship? I mean, what do you tell them besides, I love you? I don't know what else you could tell them.
That was the main thing I told them. I told them that was a little too close, and I give my heart a little blood pressure, got a little high there. But, you know, I told them I love them, and you know, that – it was amazing what maturity and leadership and hard work will do. And you know, this is a life lesson for them that they know if they come and work every day that good things are going to happen. And, you know, just to have the opportunity like we got, it's amazing, and we're just tickled to death to be there.
Coach, last one for me. I've been to Salina a few times from Cookeville, played, you know, some basketball scrimmages there. I've covered some football games there. It's a very unique experience, and obviously a really small town. It has the perfect small town high school football feel. But what was it like at that stadium tonight, being able to win it in front of a hometown crowd that has never gotten to experience getting to punch a ticket to a state title game?
You know, their crowd's been awesome. They have come out each week and supported these young men. And, you know, the biggest thing that I've been coaching, this is my 29th year, and to watch these guys come out, and we get ready to walk down. We have a little gravel pathway that leads from our field house down to our fields. And the last 2 games, former players, no matter how old they are, how young they are, you know, they line up right here and they support these kids and get them excited about playing football. And that's so special. The tradition here, the family atmosphere that's here, it's amazing. You know, everything that you've ever asked for as a coach, it's great because the people here are just phenomenal. And, you know, I can't ask for anything else but watching the support that they have for these young men.
Final question for me. We're talking to Coach Bruce Lamb at Clay County. His team's headed to the state championship. Will you be able to sleep tonight?
Absolutely not. I'll be going to Starbucks about 5 a.m. in the morning because I'll be so fired up. I'm telling you, it's just amazing.
Well, we'll meet you at the Waffle House near Cookeville about 2 a.m. if you're still up, all right?
Hey, that sounds good. I'll meet you there.
All right, Coach, congratulations.
Covered Chuck and Dice, man.
Yeah, Elijah will pay for it tonight. We got you covered. Hey, Coach, Okay. Thank you for coming on the show. Again, congratulations. It's a special time, and God bless you and the community up there. Enjoy the ride, Coach, and we'll see you next week down in Chattanooga.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Coach Bruce Lamb from Clay County. Good job, Elijah, getting him on the phone. You know what? We've had some great interviews, and I don't want to rank interviews, but that is one I'd like to retire to the rafter just to hear his excitement and just genuine happiness for his boys. That's what high school football is all about right there.
I loved hearing the response about the community's response and the community's outpouring of support for these teams. I love whenever old players can still come back to that town and be able to support something, a program that they all helped build, you know, because even if you're not there anymore, you helped build the foundation, the building blocks for the program moving forward, no matter how separated from it you are, you'll always be a part of that school's history. So to hear that, those former players were excited to come back, took pride in that game tonight, and were able to show up and help make a difference is really what separates high school sports from anything else that we have to enjoy in terms of sporting competition.
Did you, I know we'll get to the break here in a moment. Did you see the Deion Sanders interview on 60 Minutes?
No, I did not. Recently?
Yeah, it was about a month ago. You need to go see it because they asked Deion about coaching in high school, college, and the NFL. And they said, would you coach the NFL? He said, absolutely not. He goes, it's hard to motivate somebody who makes more money than you. And he goes, we'd go in the locker room at halftime because I'd come out with maybe half the team because they need to play at the same level that I did, and I know they're not going to do that. And it was just eye-opening hearing that. And, you know, hearing him say that, Elijah, it was kind of like the fun is gone at that high level, whereas college and high school, it's there. You know, it's palpable. You feel it every Friday and Saturday, man.
I think my favorite thing about coaching at the high school level, too, it's an element of coaching. Like we would evaluate coaches at any other level, but there's also the most important variable, which is teaching. You are a teacher of the sport. You need to take your passion for the sport and teach it to young men and women to be able to hone this craft, whether it be football, soccer, baseball, volleyball, whatever it is. You coach it because you love it and you love the sport. You want to share that passion with others and be able to craft them and have them have an advanced level of understanding. I would never have known as much as I do about basketball if it wasn't for my high school basketball coaches being able to willing to teach me more than just the rules and the fundamentals of the game, being able to elevate my understanding of it. And I use it to this day. And these kids, everybody that has participated in high school football, whether they don't play another snap when the high school career is over, they can sit with their families on Thanksgiving and be able to explain what a cover two defense is to a family member.
Right.
And they'll remember this kind of stuff forever because they got to do it. So like that element of teaching is what really separates to me coaching high school to even college and pro.
I love it. Absolutely. All right, we'll get to the break with top and the bottom. They are. Elijah's got the complete scoreboard update. The games are set for next weekend in Chattanooga. We'll have all that for you coming up next. You listen to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game. Our final Game Blitz of the year, week 15. We lead you all the way up to the state championship games, which happen next week down in Chattanooga. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, making everything go smooth tonight. And Elijah Campbell down the line. So the games are set next week in Chattanooga, but how did they get there? Scoreboard time.
This scoreboard update brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, a company you can kind of rely on. We'll go ahead and start in 6A. Oakland took down Maryville 38-15. That was their fifth win against Maryville in the state semifinals in the last 9 years. They will take on the Beach Buccaneers. Beach beats Bartlett 50-39, fends off a furious second-half comeback from Bartlett. Bartlett took a lead after trailing 35-13, but 15 unanswered points leads the Beach Buccaneers to Chattanooga, where they'll play Oakland. In 5A, the Battle of the Patriots. Page, for the second year in a row, punches their ticket to Chattanooga by beating Henry County, this time by a score of 27-24. Who will Page play? They will play Knox West, who dethroned defending 5A state champion Powell 28-21. We'll have undefeated Knox West versus Page for all the marbles in 5A. In 4A, Anderson County, early final from tonight. The Mavericks beat Red Bank 28-13. Anderson County going to the 4A state championship. They still get to lose a game this year. They will play Pearl Cone. Pearl Cone, in the game of the night, beats Haywood 53-47. A back-and-forth affair. A late turnover on down seals the deal for Pearl Cone. They'll play Anderson County for all the marbles in 4A. In 3A, Alcoa punches their ticket to a state championship game. Again, they are in pursuit of state title number 21. They beat Giles County 38-13. Standing in their way for the second straight year will be East Nashville. East Nashville beats Covington 41-15. East Nashville, they spent last year in the state title game losing to Alcoa. They will get a rematch. Alcoa East Nashville for the 3A state title. In 2A, Chattanooga Tyner shuts out York 33-0. York only their second ever appearance in the state semifinals. Chattanooga Tyner running clocks and they went 33-0, but they'll take on Decatur Riverside, who beat Huntington tonight 26-13. We will have a Decatur Riverside versus Tyner 2A state title. And then in 1A, Clay County, for the first time in school history, will be playing for a state championship. They will meet McKenzie. Clay County beat Colfield 40-33. McKenzie beat Mace 34-0 in a stunning shutout victory. So we will have a Clay County versus McKenzie 1A state title. That is your scoreboard update.
Well done, Elijah, on that, as we could see. Again, over the moon excited for the Metro teams that have made it there, and, of course, the matchups for next week. We talked earlier about East Nashville going down, taking Alcoa, and I just said it would be a different East Nashville team, of course, going down, because last year they enjoyed the trip. This year they want to win the trip. But Pearl Cone, I'd love to see them go down. Knock off, I don't know a lot about Anderson County. I'll look at them up here in a little bit. But if Pearl Cone go on the road, it can drop 53 against a very good Haywood team. They should have a good shot next week of winning the 4A title.
They have a good chance. Anderson County they've had a lot of blowout wins and a lot of really close ones too. I'll try to find that page here really quick. But Anderson County is one of those teams undefeated, haven't lost a game yet this year, but they've had some teams that have given them really good games, right? Some games that might have been, I remember when looking up the scores, being a little underwhelmed by thinking they probably should have won some of those games by more than they did. They were tied at 13, actually, with Red Bank tonight. So actually, Anderson County started off their season beating Powell, who was in a state semifinal tonight. They beat them 48-14. They went at Science Hill 48-6. Science Hill was in this thing until last week when Maryville put them out. So those are big wins. They barely beat Ray County, who only won two games this year. That was a little bit of a head scratcher. Blew out South Doyle. Barely beat Elizabethton. Beat them by one, but Elizabethton's a solid team. Blew out Knox Carter. Blew out Knox Gibbs. Beat Bearden by seven, a really good Bearden team. And then blew out Scott County, who was really, really bad. But blew out Seymour in the first round. Beat Elizabethton by six. So Elizabethton almost got him in the second round.
Right.
But they beat an undefeated Greenville team last week 38-7. So that should be a really fun game.
Yeah, I looked at, Elizabethton was 5-4 in the regular season, so you didn't think it would be much of a battle. But if I'm Tony Brunetti, the head coach of Pearl Cone, I'll look at what Elizabethton did to Anderson County in both those games and take that blueprint, because they dismantled Greenville and they just destroyed Seymour, but who was 3-7, probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs, but they were. But that's a big game and a big win for them, poor too, Matt, as well. Yeah. So that goes on. But yeah. They headed down there again, of course. And you know, we just had the coach Bruce Lamb on from Clay County, take on McKenzie, you know, and that's a different vibe, I would think, for the first time going down there, because you go, if you've never been to the state championship game, you know, you get the police escort into the stadium. I mean, it's next level, things you've not experienced all year, but this, you got to enjoy that. You know, we'll talk to Kevin Creasy here in a little bit about the experience, and it's another thing, you get used to it, where it becomes like, all right, we get the police escort, we get the great, you know, catered meal and everything goes on. You know, some teams aren't used to that because they've never been there before. And Clay County is a perfect example of that.
Yep. With Oakland, this is routine. With Clay County, this is your chance to get to be treated like a college football player. It truly is to be treated like a college football player in the Southeast United States. I cannot imagine the excitement that's going to be, because, you know, the pregame ritual for a road game for Clay County in the regular season will not touch what they're about to experience in a week. Absolutely won't touch it. Like, they'll get to experience, like you said, the police escort, playing in a college field, getting your game on TV across the entire state. It's a really, really big deal. And I'm so excited for those kids who, you know, have never had the opportunity to play for something like this, to get that opportunity and just to get the experience as a whole.
Did you know that Florida and Florida State played tonight in football?
Why are they playing so many of these on Friday? I know they do it every year, and I always forget that, like, there's a game on Friday. Who won that one?
Florida State won 45-38. Florida was driving at the end, but they couldn't convert, and then Florida State wins. Florida, boy, they just tanked it that last part of the season there. But I'm not a fan of all this stuff.
Too much on Friday. Too much. Put it on Saturday, man. I don't know. I don't love college football being played on Thanksgiving or Black Friday.
Yeah, I don't. Leave it. I'm like, leave Fridays alone for high school football. And I know nobody cares about it like we do, and I get that. But just leave the kids alone for, you know, there's been games where Friday night, MTSU's had to play at home on a Friday. And I'm thinking, you got great Rutherford County teams playing on Friday. Yeah, they're not going to, they're going to go to the high school football games early. But the national exposure on TV, who cares? If it looks bad on TV because you got a game on a Friday night because you're playing in a county where people like to go to high school football games, that's just ludicrous, man. I hate that.
Oh, yeah. The biggest bill of goods ever sold to a conference like Conference USA is that you're going to get a large national audience because you play primetime on Friday. False. People do other stuff on Friday nights, like go out and live their lives. If you want a standalone slot, be the Mac and play on Tuesday night. Like, people are starved for football on a Tuesday night. They have high school games across the country on Fridays, and then some people, they will use that Friday night as a means of doing something like, I don't know, talking to their families or something crazy like that. Like, that's usually your best window to do it. So, no, whoever bought that or sold them on that could, I mean, I don't know. They could sell anything to anybody at that point, because it makes no sense logically. I can almost promise you TV ratings for a Friday night Conference USA game between North Texas and UTEP is not just blowing it through the roof.
I agree.
Can promise you.
I talked to a college football coach about playing those games on Tuesdays or Wednesday, and he said, I hate it because, you know, you play on a Saturday, then you got the next Saturday off because you're playing on a Wednesday, then you got that coming up Saturday off because you played the past Wednesday. He goes, that's two whole Saturdays where they're not talking about you in the concept of college football, and you get lost in the shuffle of life. And I was like, God, that's a great point. Like, you're just talking about is the fact that, you know, on a Wednesday night, you got church that's going on, you got ball games. You know, you're not going to watch that. But on Saturday, you know to watch the college football. He's like, I hate it because you're out of the spotlight. He goes, even though you're on national TV for that little part, you're still out of the spotlight for those two Saturdays. And that one national primetime game does not make up for what you're missing on Saturdays.
It sounds kind of hard on the psyche of the players, too, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they got a lot of stuff going on, too.
Yeah. Hey, exactly. We're playing Wednesday, guys. Oh,
and
what?
We still got class and all that kind of stuff going on and everything. And yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
Lost in the
else.
Shuffle of Life. I think it might be the title of my autobiography.
Oh, I thought you got other titles for that, like Elijah Campbell Enterprises, We're Here, Not For You. I mean, things like that.
Those slogans are
the
truth.
Yeah, that's pages long. There's always a smidgen of truth in all of those, every single one.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to start getting some of these coaches in here. It's a little bittersweet for me, man, because this ends tonight at midnight. And so It's been 15 weeks, 90 hours of high school football content that we've thrown out there.
It's been 15 weeks.
It's coming to an end. Wow.
So the regular season is 11 weeks. They got the bye week, so they go 11 weeks. Maybe it used to be week zero, which was stupid. So they went, now it's week one to week 11. Then you got the 4 weeks we take you up to the semifinals, and they're 5 weeks of the playoffs. So 11 plus 4, if I do my math correctly, 15.
Dude, time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, my man, you got it. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back on the other side. More of the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitzer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass, making it happen. Elijah down the line. I love this tweet from Charles Rathbone. He's the head coach at Page High School. He has a picture of his football team and says, unbelievable. He's got a picture of his football team and said, this group of guys, Elijah, he says, this group of guys just play hard and defy the doubters. Beat region champs Mount Juliet, region champs Nolensville, and region champs Henry County all on the road. In three straight weeks on a trip to Chattanooga.
Wow.
You are damn correct. You earned that trip to Chattanooga, Coach. That's amazing right there.
That is remarkable. That many region champs on the road, taking down all of them. That's impressive. There's not going to be many teams that are coming to Chattanooga next week with a resume that Paige is having in terms of just like the strength of your playoff wins.
That's crazy. I mean, you think about the environment. I mean, Mount Juliet's a tough place to play. Then you go to Nolensville. That's another tough place. And then you have that in Henry County. So it's tough to go and play. So we're going to go.
All three tough venues and tough teams. And obviously, region champs. Like, they're battle-tested. And now they get a chance to redeem their state championship loss from last year, but with a different opponent.
There you go. Let's go to the phone line and bring in the voice of the Giles County Bobcats. The phone line's brought to you by our good friends at Elijah Camel Enterprises, where you are the problem. Let's bring in Wade Neely, the voice of Giles County. Wade, tough loss tonight, man. It's just that Alcoa train. It's never going to stop, is it?
Man, you know what, guys? First of all, it's good to be with you. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. But, yes, Alcoa showed no signs of slowing down. They kind of dominated from start to finish against, I'm not going to lie, folks, a pretty good Giles County team. They are a really good 3A team, but Alcoa is just at a different level than everybody else in 3A football.
At what point tonight, Wade, did you know, like, oh, my goodness, this Alcoa team has not changed at all? Because we're falling along, you know, it's like 7-0, 4-14, whatever. And then just see they win the game 38-13. Was that correct? Was that the final?
Yep, 38-13 was the final. And, you know, two answers to that question. Number one, the moment they got off the bus, you could tell that they were a different team than Giles County had played the rest of the 3A playoffs. But once the game got started, Alcoa hit Giles County with a very early, quick touchdown. And it was almost a repeat of last year where they really jumped on them early. But I do got to give a true tip of the cap. The Giles County defense, you know, they were down 7-0, and Alcoa drove down the field twice, went for it on fourth down twice, and Giles County's defense got them off the field twice. And so the crowd was, you know, just waiting in anticipation there for the Bobcat offense to maybe put something together. But unfortunately, just as good as Alcoa's offense is, their defense is just as good. And Giles County just held without a first down until about midway through the second quarter.
Talking to our guy Wade Neely on the broadcast for Giles County all season long. And Wade, obviously the story of the night is Alcoa being Alcoa, doing what they do and just buzzsawing their way to another 3A state championship game. But I'd like to talk about Giles County tonight a lot too, because despite the loss, this was still a very, very memorable team, a very memorable season. For those who haven't been familiar with Giles County this year that are listening right now, how would you describe the season, and how will you, I guess, long-term remember this specific Giles County Bobcat team?
Oh, man, great question. And, you know, for me specifically, I've been doing this This is, I think, my 11th season, 12th season of Giles County High School football, and this team was very unique because they went to Alcoa last year in the semifinals and got dominated from start to finish. Nothing went well. And from that moment forward, the goal was, you know, to try and just get back and have a shot to take on Alcoa again. And Giles County, they played a wild schedule. Their region was very down this year, but they scheduled a lot of tough opponents. You know, they played Page. They played Nolensville. They played Cleveland, who beat Maryville earlier this season. I mean, they played a lot of 5 and 6A teams. So they never backed down from a challenge. And, you know, that kind of came from the coaching staff down, and it also came from the players up. You know, the coaches and the players, tremendously just good, hardworking guys that really put their nose to the grindstone, and they got better every game. And the crazy part for me, and this is a little bit of a long-winded answer, but the crazy part for me was at the end of the season, their leading rusher, you know, maybe a Mr. Football candidate, Xorion Randolph, he got hurt in week 9. And they completely abandoned their offense and went with a totally new-look offense, and they got better the next 5 weeks, and they looked great until they ran into that buzzsaw versus Alcoa tonight. But a tremendous group of kids. I got to know some of them very well, you know, over these last 3 or 4 years, and just could not be more proud of their effort. It just always stings when you lose one win shy of going back to Chattanooga.
Wade, real quick, what's the future look like for Giles County?
That's the good news, potentially. They lose quite a few seniors, for sure, but they have a loaded junior and sophomore class. Their best quarterback / running back, actually quarterback and running back, returned. They have some really promising up-and-coming 9th and 10th graders in terms of linemen. They bring back some good playmakers on defense. So the future is kind of bright for Giles County, but, you know, obviously – you still kind of got that beast from the east lurking in round 4. So we'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, the future is pretty bright for Giles County. They got another great tough schedule next year. But I'm just proud of this team. It is a real pleasure to call their games all year, and it was a real pleasure to check in with you guys every week.
Wade, we appreciate you, man. Thank you. Sorry about the tough loss. And it's always an honor to have you on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you, fellas. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, where, again, you are the problem. Let's bring in the head coach of Oakland High School, Coach Kevin Creasy. Coach, congratulations. Headed back to Chattanooga just like you drew it up, right?
Oh, not exactly how we drew it up, but very happy to be back in Chattanooga for sure.
All right, tell me, opening kickoff, Jeremiah Collins takes it all the way for a touchdown. You know, you want to score in the opening drive. That's the way to do it right there. Just tell me about starting out like that with the kickoff touchdown and how it kind of set the tone for the game.
Yeah, you know, we got a bunch of our offensive guys on the kick return team. So, you know, no matter where you kick it, it has potential to really do some damage. And we've got guys that work on blocking every day. So we felt like we had something going into the game, and you know, we won the toss and we took the ball, something we never do. And sure enough, man, we were hoping to at least get to the 50. And the next thing you know, we started off with a touchdown. So Jeremiah's a really talented kid, and he played really good tonight. Once he hit that final gear, he was gone.
Tell me what the – because I played for a coach in college where we never took the ball. We always wanted to pin their offense deep. What made you change your mind tonight?
Well, you know, some guys are trying to kind of keep the ball out of our offense's hand, and we saw that last week in which, you know, it was like 8-minute drive before we got the ball back. They were milking the clock, just trying to keep it close, and, you know, trying to get us frustrated, I guess. And so the biggest thing was we were just trying to get a quick start, and, you know, we knew we saw something on film that we had a potential to have a good return and have a good field position. And like I said, it was even sweeter than what we thought.
Talking to head coach Kevin Creasy from the Oakland Patriots. His team is going to the 6A state championship again, this time to face Beach. And coach, there's a lot that goes to closing out a game, right? You guys were up 31-7, but I'm sure you weren't satisfied with how the game ended, because Maryville was able to tack on some scores. And as you know, that could be dangerous. Beach almost blew a big lead tonight. They're up 35-13 and end up having to hold on to win 50-39. But what's the importance of being able to just close these games out, regardless of how good your team looked in that first half?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just a weird situation that you're put in when you have a lot of respect for the other team and you got a continuous clock rolling, and then you're not exactly trying to, you know, keep scoring, but you do want to score, but then you don't want to look like a guy that's trying to embarrass somebody, but then it could be you that gets embarrassed, and then at the same time you don't want to get no one hurt knowing what you're playing for in the state championship. Got sloppy after that, you know, ended up getting a punt blocked for a safety. It just proves that we got a lot to work on, but at the same time, you know, we probably should have just kept our foot on the gas. I'm sure Beach feels the same way, but you got to give Bartlett and Maryville credit. They kept fighting, and most teams that play on Thanksgiving weekend are going to keep fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Coach, obviously looking ahead to this state championship game against Beach, I mean, it looks like a lot of strength on strength. Obviously, your team is a fantastic running team that can give it to somebody from any direction. And Beach is the same way, like kind of like as we learned tonight, a hybrid wing T that they kind of run. What should people expect from this game that maybe old school football enthusiasts coming up this next week?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen Beach on film at all. I heard they had a running back go over 300 yards, which is amazing, especially when you're playing a team that's like 11, what were they, 13-1, 12-2. But, yeah, I know that Beach has always been one of those teams that love to pound the rock and, you know, always had success. And I think it kind of tells you a little bit about what it takes to win in November. In our league, you got to be able to run the football. And, you know, I think that's two good offenses coming in, trying to run the ball. And like I said, it makes for an interesting matchup.
All right, we're talking to Oakland head football coach Kevin Creasy. Coach, you returned to the state championship game for the third year in a row. And, you know, and talking to you from the years past, I mean, you do the same approach this week as you would any other week, even though it's a state championship game, the same mindset, the same practice schedule, you keep everything the same?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we're going to get after it Monday. We have a little 20-minute drill that we call Road to Chattanooga, and makes me look real smart now that we've done it. All these weeks, we started it right after our loss at CPA, and it's kind of rough drill. I can't lie. We get after each other, and, you know, it's kind of made us a tougher team and definitely got us trying to play better cohesive football on both sides. So we've gotten better at offense, blocking, and got better at getting off blocks and tackling. And like I said, we'll get after it Monday just like we always do. And, you know, keep our fingers crossed, hope nobody gets hurt. And then, like I said, keep our same routine, just knowing that we got an additional day to kind of get ready since we're playing on Saturday.
Do you guys head down Saturday, or will you get on Friday night and spend the night?
Yeah, we'll head down Saturday. And like I said, it's not that long of a trip. And Findlay Stadium, man, it was a great venue last year. I love the state championship in Cookeville, but Chattanooga, man, they did it right. Their stadium is awesome, and so we're just glad to be back. Hope everybody from Murfreesboro can make the trip. You know, it's just better to be there. You know, TV's all good and everything, but it's better to be there. And if you're an Oakland fan, you need to be there and support us.
I completely agree. Hey, Coach, I want to thank you. You know, I love our friendship, but I want to thank you for taking time out on Friday nights for joining us. It means a lot to the show. We got a lot of people listening. We appreciate your time, and best of luck next week. We're really thankful you come on the show each week, Coach. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, thank you, Coach. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of friends, but I got to have six for Paul Bears, and you're one of them, brother. I definitely – appreciate you having us on. And the biggest thing is I appreciate what you do for high school football. It's very important in this state and especially in this part of the country. I appreciate you being a voice out there, helping these kids understand what they're doing is important, and people are still supporting.
I appreciate you, Coach. Thank you. Have a great weekend, Coach.
All right, thanks.
All right, head coach Kevin Creasy in Oakland. And I was going to drop a line on him, Elijah. I was going to say, I'll be a Huckleberry, right?
There you go. Is that Tombstone?
Yeah, that for people thinks like I'll be your Huckleberry, but no, it's like I'll be your – I think I pronounced it correctly, but it means a pallbearer. And that's what it was. That was the great line in the movie there. So we learned something. We've learned a lot of things tonight on this show. All right, we got one more hour
of the show.
We got one more hour left. Elijah Campbell has your complete scoreboard update coming for you next. This is the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.